innercitygeeks.net.
To the Inner City Geeks podcast, it's Steve here, and joining me today for episode 253, I got Renee.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Chilling, bro. Chilling. How you been, man? How's this last week been treating you?
Pretty good. I was busy playing video games and driving Uber, so nice. That was pretty cool. I decided to treat myself because I had a really good last weekend. Last weekend on the roads was really good. Nice. So I decided to treat myself when I got the Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Oh, nice. How is that?
Which collects 1, 2, and 3. It's good. Like, I beat 1. I kind of zoomed through it. So it's good so far, number one. It's way easier than I remembered. So I had to. Okay. I might redo 1 with Shepherd, and kind of see how what the difference is. On harder difficulties, but so far so really good. Like, it looks great, plays a lot better. Number one was the one that had the most changes to it, like playing wise and controller wise. So it's good. It's definitely worth the $50-$60 that it's going for. What else? Oh, and I got there's a new Warhammer game called Necromunda: Hired Gun. It's a one player kind of story first person shooter, a lot like Doom. It's really good. It's one of the first of the newer games that are coming out, because starting, I guess, at the end of the year, they're going to start releasing, like, more games. Right. I was playing that game, like, all week, so I didn't really watch anything.
That's fair. That happens.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much my week. Last weekend was really good with Uber. You were working the festival. I was kind of, like, driving around there. Nice. And it was a nice week. It was cool. I didn't get to go to the gym, but I'll do that this week. I'm kind of doing like a, I guess we're driving Uber again, like hardcore. It's like I'll take a week on, week off. So, yeah.
That's fair.
I think that's it. Like I said, like I was just obsessed with Mass Effect because it was like, I haven't played those games since like maybe a good 10 years, 5 years.
Okay.
Somewhere between 5 and 10 years, I haven't played those games. I definitely haven't played 2 and 3 again because I started 2 and I had no idea what was going on, so I'm taking a break to see what happens.
Yeah, because Mass Effect 3, it doesn't basically go like in a whole different direction than the other ones.
Yeah, the last one, 3 is like the most different one out of the trilogy, but they're still pretty much like the same type of game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's. I'm racking my brains to see if I saw anything else. No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
it happens. Yeah, we all tend to like. Just get in our whole heads and focus on the things that we're focusing on, and we just completely forget about everything else.
It's kind of happened. But like, yeah. I know I saw something other than what we're going to talk about later, but I'm drawing a blank.
It's all good. All right. Well, we can you know dive into it later on if it just happens to pop into your brains.
Okay.
As for me, you kind of mentioned it for a second, like, this last week was last week after we recorded, like I wound up doing something that I've never done before. Like I've been to festivals and shit before, but, actually got to work, a EDM festival. So I worked the Sunset Music Festival out here in Tampa. And, it was totally different than I was expecting, mostly because I'm not a fan of EDM music. I've never been a fan of EDM music. Probably when I was younger, maybe like I guess you know, in like the early 2000s, a little bit. We know when Blade and whatnot. Well, yeah, when Blade and the Matrix and all that was out, and they had all the soundtracks for that. I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting then. But then I kind of grew away from it because, of course, you know, it wasn't necessarily my style. That's not something that I was used to. And then actually working an event for that type of music, something that, like, I kind of grew to not enjoy, especially now that a lot of it's super electronic. And you kind of, like I've mentioned it before, it, all sounds like robots fucking. Like, I never really gave a fuck about it until actually, like, seeing how live the crowd gets these things. Like, I was not expecting it. I know people, you know, one of those Mario, he usually goes to, like, you know, the Electric City out there, out in New York or whatever, the Electric Playground or whatever the fuck it's called. But it's different and it's cool. It's actually really interesting because, of course, you know, I've never been there. Like, I've done the metal festivals and that's totally different. It's pretty much everybody going crazy over, obviously, music. But this one, it's first, it was the first huge music festival in Florida since, you know, everything's pretty much opening up, especially out here. Everything is open for the most part.
Yeah, like, people were telling me, because, like, I kept driving people to and from the event. They were telling me it might be one of the first big festivals in the country that started.
Yeah,
everything else is closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why everything is pretty much happening out here, because this is the first state that actually, like, is opening the doors to everything. Pretty much, it all started with, like, you know, the Super Bowl. They started to, you know, throw people in a little bit here, a little bit there. Then they kept it with WrestleMania. They added a little more people, and then this one, they was like, "Fuck it, let's go all out," because Florida pretty much opened up all their doors. And they're just like, fuck it, let's just bring everybody in. At this point, for the most part, we think that everybody's, you know, at least got the jab at least twice, or at least once. So it was a very fun experience to actually be in an event that had over 30,000 people on two different days. It's fucking nuts. For the most part, I'm assuming that it was both days. It was the same amount of people, but of course, you know, there are people that you just bought tickets for one day and then not for the other. But it was actually really fucking fun. I wasn't expecting it to be as exciting as it was. I actually was obviously, I'm not a fan of it, but they had me in the VIP area, which was kind of cool. Never really worked the VIP area other than, you know, being in a VIP area a long time ago. But yeah, dude, it was super fucking fun to actually work a VIP area and tell people, no, you can't fucking sit over here. You can't be over here. You got to go the other way, turn around, and just reject people from going into the fucking place. But it was cool. Like, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being a bouncer for a day.
Yo, as far as, like, the driver's side, like, me looking at that shit, because I was driving all weekend last weekend, it was interesting because, like, every time I had to take people over there, I specifically wouldn't drive into where you're supposed to go because, like, one, they changed it from one spot to, like, the other side. It was really inconvenient. And two, once you got in, you're kind of stuck
because
everybody's, like, unloading and loading. So I was like, yo, fuck this. I'm not staying. So I would drop them off on the corner. And it was cool. Like, the crowd, too, was, like, really cool. Like, they were, like, they just want to have fun or whatever. Yeah, and I haven't seen that much butt cheek outside of a strip club or the beach in, like, a long fucking time. It was glitter and butt cheeks. Yeah, and, like, yeah. I told you I saw a chick walking around with the – she had shorts on, so the bottom part wasn't showing, but she had, like, the banana hammock from Borat. And yeah. It was an interesting weekend, man. I was giving out sunscreen because I had one of those giant bottles in my car, and, like, they actually tipped me, which was fucking awesome. Yeah, I took people from up here all the way down there, and then came back, dragged somebody else down there. It was cool. Like, everybody was in a good mood. They had a great vibe. Everyone that went on Saturday, that went on Sunday, said Saturday was good, but Sunday was much better. You said the same thing.
I said the exact same thing, yeah.
What was hilarious is when, like, Sunday, when it was already, like, winding down, but it was still partying. It must have been 10 o'clock because the event stops at midnight.
Yep.
But, like, every time you stopped, like, I had noticed it in the day, but it was really noticeable at night. Like, it was a, like, fog of pot smoke that would go on to Dale Mabry.
Yeah.
And, like, whenever the wind blew, like, you could see the fucking weed and smell it. It was just fucking hilarious. I was going home. And I had my windows open, and I was like, "Yo, that's some party time."
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I look everybody. I was really glad that you had a good time, because sometimes, like, if it's not your music, you might just be totally bored. But I could tell, like, everybody was in a good mood. They're all tripping.
Everybody was tripping because like I said, it's one of those events that, like, you don't expect to be as fun as it is, especially because, like, that's one thing that, like, I'm not into it. Like, I don't really give a fuck about it. And so, other than, like, times that I've told you, like, when I was at Webster Hall way back in the day. Experiencing that type of vibe on a huge scale. Because Webster Hall, like, it's a club, so you're encased with everything just for a little while, and when you're walking through from one place to the next place in the fucking place. But there, it's literally all around you, and you feel the music, like, in your fucking chest. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking insane. And the one thing that I got from it, I was like, yo, like, these people just enjoy it, and they... I guess what the young people say, they just vibe to it. And so, like, it felt good to be there. Like, I was like, okay, I like this. I like the flow. I enjoy the vibe that was being set off in there. I was like, okay, I like it. I like it. I can dig this. Not necessarily the music, but I can dig being there. It was fun. It was fun. And it was cool to actually, you know, see cheeks and pasties everywhere,
ass and titties. It was nuts, because, like, when I'm driving I don't really pay attention to the people when I drive like Uber, I don't see people, I see money. So I don't really like interact with them until they interact with me. But, like, yeah, I was, you know, everybody was, like, talky and having fun and psyched to be here. I had two couples, so I guess four people that were from California, and they told me the same thing. They're like, everything's still dead out west, so they came out for this one. Glad it was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Like, it was hard for me to actually focus on the actual job because there was so much of it everywhere. Especially, I'm in there, I'm in the middle of the fucking music. And me, knowing how I am, I enjoy music no matter how shitty it can be. Like, I enjoy music. I actually get into it. I start to semi-dance to it and shit. While I'm standing at my post, and I'm just like, oh, I like this. And then you see random girl with, like, you know, almost nothing on. And she just, like, stands next to you because she wants to get where you are. I'm like, nope, you're not allowed over here, but you can stand there for a little while. It was an interesting situation, but it was super fun. Like I said, like, I enjoyed the fuck out of it. And I'm glad I got to do it and I got paid for it. So... because personally, like, I wouldn't have paid to go into the place because of course, like I've mentioned it before, like, I'm not a fan of the music, but it was cool to actually be there and actually see it for what it is, because especially in the VIP area where the tables were about $5,000 a table just for the table itself. Yeah, it's a lot of fucking money. And that's not including,
holy,
like, the liquor.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Because the regular tickets weren't that much. I think
no, the regular, like, tickets. Yeah, exactly. The regular tickets were pretty cheap. But for the VIP area where you get to sit in pretty much, especially for the VIP section by itself was not too bad. It's probably like about $150 a ticket or so. Okay. But for the VIP table seatings with, you know, all of the hot ladies that are serving you and shit, that was like $5 a piece, and that was nuts, because that's the section that I was pretty much, you know, in charge of in a way. And it was fucking crazy, dude. It was really fucking cool. I got to meet a lot of cool people there, and it was fun. I'm glad that I went. I'm glad I worked it, and it's a good way to start off the summer. Because the summer is pretty much here in Florida, so it's exciting to see what's going to come out of that. Then after that, that was also the same weekend that we had a Double or Nothing from AEW. That was a really good fucking pay-per-view. It was a really good pay-per-view. Like, I don't think there was really a dull match in the entire thing. Like, I was a huge fan of, I've been a huge fan of the AEW, and actually, you know, it's kind of sad that I didn't get to watch it live, but with the miracles of the internet, of course, you know, you got to see the whole thing from the beginning to the very fucking end, there was like about a good 4.5 hours worth of wrestling. It was really fucking fun.
Yeah, it was good. I saw it. We saw it on Monday, the day after. It was good. A little bit too long, but it was pretty. It was really good.
Yeah, like it was really fucking long. It was kind of like as long as like a lot of these fucking WWE events, but it was actually entertaining. Even the Stadium Stampede match that was slightly pre-recorded was actually very entertaining, because a lot of these pre-recorded matches kind of tend to suck, and it was cool. It was fun. It was a fun match. A lot of the AEW was really cool. It was a lot of cool shit. They introduced Mark Henry as the new host for their new show that's going to be coming out in August on TNT.
That reminds me of something. Why do people hate that dude so much? Because like,
who, Mark Henry?
Mark Henry, yeah. Because there was like some kind of like static thing when a couple of tweets when like he showed up were like, oh no, not him. So I was like curious, but I mean, I guess.
Whatever. I'm not sure why they hate on him. Like, I guess because he was a bit of a heel for a while, they probably still consider him to be a heel. But he has a show. He does a show, like a weekly show on fucking on Sirius. So I don't see why they hate on him all the time. Yeah. He does the with what is it, a Busted Open or whatever on Sirius or whatever. And he's on there with, and you know, they have an alternating group, alternating cast with him. Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, as he called himself now, and Tommy Dreamer, they're all like on there.
Oh, okay.
So they're all on there like on different days. But yeah, he's there. He does it all the fucking time. So I don't know why they fucking shit on him, because he's a great fucking wrestler. Like,
yeah,
he's been doing it for a long time. And the fact that like he comes to AEW now is like, yo, like I'm here. Like I'm here to do this. And then on Friday night Dynamite that they had, because they had the playoffs and stuff. The NBA playoffs are going on. He pretty much said, like, I'm not completely done with wrestling at the moment, but, you know, maybe in the future I may just, you know, lace up the boots again. So the possibility of him actually coming back to the ring, just like possibilities of the Big Show coming back into the ring as well. Or, you know, Paul White, as he called himself, coming back into the ring. It's pretty cool. Like, I'm glad to see that they're possibly working on coming back into the actions and stuff, because they're both really good wrestlers. And
I'm just glad they're alive.
Yeah. And Mark Henry, at this point, he's actually like, because I follow him on the Twitters and Instagrams and shit, he's actually in better shape than he was back in the day. Like he's toned down a little bit, but he's like healthier than he was before.
Good.
Yeah. It's fucking cool. And then for some shit that I actually watched other than like the wrestling and stuff, actually one more thing that I watched for the wrestling that I actually watched just before we started recording was, actually started watching the rest of what's come out so far for, the Dark Side of the Ring on Vice. And, the last episode I watched, the first episode was of course, the Brian Pillman, that was two parts or whatever. But,
yeah, I caught up on that too. I got to see the Nick Gage one, but I saw the rest.
Yeah, I just finished watching the Nick Gage episode. And that's fucking nuts, dude. That episode is fucking nuts, because he puts it all out on the line. Like he takes ECW to the next level, pretty much. Like, cuz he's pretty much, he does the whole death matches. That's all he does.
All right. Death matches. Going out.
Yeah. And it's fucking nuts. He wound up, you know, addicted to opioids and shit, and fucking he goes and he robs a bank, because I didn't know his whole backstory and shit.
Yeah.
He goes, robs a bank without a mask on, and and he's staring into the cameras and shit. It's fucking nuts, because I don't know if you've seen online, but whenever he comes out into the ring, he's always wearing a mask. So he goes into robbing a bank without a mask.
So he's a criminal genius. Okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but there's a lot of cool shit in there. And, right. And the fact that he's actually not dead, he's actually still wrestling now.
Yeah, I saw that. You haven't seen the rest though, right?
I have not seen the rest yet, no.
The Korean one's really funny, because they're like, we thought we were gonna die. It's really funny. The Korean one's really funny.
Nice. I gotta check it out. I've been a fan of the Dark Side of the Ring for a while, so
glad they brought it back out again. Yeah, it's one of the better shows they have on Vice.
Yeah, and I actually want to see the A&E documentaries that they've been doing for the wrestling as well too.
Yeah,
I want to see those. I haven't seen those yet. And then also this week, something that we're going to be talking about later, but I got to go to the theaters for the first time in over a year. So exciting. Oh, I miss being in the
movie. Yeah, we're like the opposite on that, because like, I'm cool if I never step foot in another movie theater ever again. Just because I don't like, you know, crowds and like I want to be able to focus on the movie and be entertained.
Oh, I get it. I get it completely. See, but the thing with me is that like whenever I'm in the theater, I tend to tune everything out. But like, I do enjoy being in a theater with other people that are enjoying the same thing that I'm enjoying at the same time. That's my thing. Like I've always loved going to the movie theaters. Even as a fucking child. Like the first movie I remember seeing was fucking what was it? Ricochet, I think it was. A long fucking time ago that I remember watching. And I fucking loved it. And then to be in a theater now, after all this shit happens, seeing it and actually being there and actually seeing something on the big screen felt really fucking good. I was so engaged. I enjoyed being at the movie theaters again. And for what it was, because of course this was a screening for something that came out this week as well, which is what we're going to be talking about later, which is going to be The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. That's going to be for the spoilers towards the end. But yeah, it was cool to actually be in a theater, and that's kind of what I've been missing for a while. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I also watched another movie on Amazon. And that was Bliss. That stars Salma Hayek and Owen Wilson. That was an interesting movie.
Didn't you see the one with Russell Crowe, the road rage movie?
Yes, I watched that one as well. That one is really fucking
good. That I want to check out because I saw some people review it like on Twitter and they said it was good. So
it is fucking good. It is fucking good, dude. That movie is, it is insane. It makes you wonder, like, yo, don't honk at this person because this person can come back and fuck you over in the long run.
Is it on? It's on Hulu, or?
I believe it was on Hulu. Okay. A lot of the things that are on Hulu are also on Amazon too. That's fucking weird. But yeah, I think it was on Hulu. But yeah, it's fucking good. And also, I also watched The Nice Guys. I've never watched The Nice Guys. I kind of went on a Russell Crowe kind of trip in a way. Russell Crowe. Yeah, that movie's so good, dude. It's
funny, yeah.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. I fucking love it. The Nice Guys and Unhinged is the other one.
Yeah.
It's fucking good. Seeing Russell Crowe being a complete bad guy. Yeah. Like, he's a complete asshole in this movie. Because he just goes on a tear. Like, from the very beginning, like, you don't see why he's doing things. But then as the story goes, you kind of see why. But then you're just like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Why is he doing it? Like, why does he continue to do this? Because he's just wreaking havoc all over fucking all over town. It's fucking nuts. Okay. It's really good. It's what you would think of from like that movie with this dude that he went crazy and he just started fucking killing people and shit. Well, like not just killing people, but just being a complete badass or whatever. Michael Douglas.
Kind of
like Falling Down, but he takes it to the next level and he just starts torturing one person throughout the entire thing and makes her life a living hell. Because he's like, yo, I've had a bad day. And she's like, okay, cool, I'm sorry. And then he's like, no, I want to make sure you have a bad day. And he just fucks her over. And it's bad and it's a good movie. It's a good fucking movie. Definitely go check out Unhinged. That shit is great. Yeah, and I guess that brings us to to the Geek Shift for this week. Yeah. Oh, that was fun. The Geek Shift, we got a lot of cool Geek Shift this week. So much that I completely forgot about everything. No, but but one thing that I thought was pretty cool for this week, so far, we've been talking about Toxic Avenger getting a reboot recently with Peter Dinklage in it as well, and that's a fucking cool ass. That's a cool premise, a cool story. I've always loved the you know, Toxic Avenger shit, and we got word that Elijah Wood is gonna be playing the villain in this, and that's fucking cool because I fucking love the Elijah Wood as fucking in Maniac.
Yeah. I saw that.
So seeing him in a villainous role is gonna be fucking cool. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of stuff that you necessarily wouldn't associate with him. Like he's done some good stuff, a lot of indie stuff.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of indie stuff because, of course, you know, he kind of suits the role and he can fit in pretty much anything. Because after doing the Lord of the Rings shit, he's like, yeah, I don't want to do all that shit again.
I don't remember the first Toxic Avenger movie that much. I mean, I know I saw it, but I think the bad guys are supposed to be like jocks or some shit, right?
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
But even at that point, if it was jocks, like he doesn't look like the jockey type role.
Yeah. I mean, whatever they do, I'm pretty sure I like can't see him fucking it up. He's been consistently good in everything he does. Like every movie that he did, like the indie movies that he's done, like he did a couple for Netflix and just some random stuff. None of them have had bad reviews. So.
Yeah, and like I said, the last movie that I remember watching him in was Maniac, and that shit was fucking dope.
Yeah, that was one of the few horror remakes.
Yeah, that's one of the few horror movies that actually
really good. And the OG one is just as fucked up. It's just the actors suck, but
yeah,
definitely check that out if you haven't already.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. Then some other news that came out this week. Something that, you know, I'm super excited for, and you're super excited for as well, is Archer finally got not only Archer, but
What We Do in the Shadows, yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows both got renewed, and we already know that they're getting the next season, and they're gonna be premiering on the 25th of August.
Both. I was surprised because they hadn't said. I mean, I didn't catch anything about What We Do in the Shadows, and after I saw it earlier this year, and I just because I really love that show, like it's one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, and it's fucking great.
I'm really glad they're making another season.
Yeah, especially What We Do in the Shadows is actually going to be on September 2nd, and the Archer is going to be on August 25th. Okay, but regardless, they're both fucking great fucking shows. I've been kind of slacking on the Archer because I haven't watched Archer in like about a season and a half or two or so. So I got to catch up on it, but I was a huge fan of it before. Like it was fucking great. It was a great fucking show. It was a great fucking premise. Had a great cast. Like H. John Benjamin, fucking Aisha Tyler, Judy Greer. I fucking love Judy Greer. Chris Parnell. Great fucking people in this fucking show. So actually saying that they're going to be doing more shit with it and actually putting some new shit. Because, of course, you know, times are hard as of late. Also, this is probably going to be the last season that we actually have Jessica Walters as his mother.
And she passed away, right?
Yeah, she passed away, yeah. So it's going to be I think it's the last season that she's going to be in it. So obviously for more than enough reasons. But yeah. It's good. I'm excited to see the new season of Archer. I'm really, really dope for it. Really fiending for it because I haven't watched Archer in a while, and I'm excited to see new shit. Then some really, really, really cool shit that came out this week is that we got news that Donnie Yen, who we've seen in a billion things before, he's been Ip Man in like three or four movies or whatever, and he's been cast.
He's in Rogue One.
Yeah, he was in Rogue One. He was the fucking dopest fucking monk ever. Like a badass fucking almost Jedi that's blind. Fucking great. I loved him in the fucking Rogue One. But he's gonna be in John Wick 4. That's fucking cool because he's fucking great. He's fucking great. Like I've pretty much loved all of the John Wick shit, and to see he's actually gonna be in another lead in this, and he's also supposed to be, you know, kind of like his ally in a way. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this.
Yeah, I mean, Donnie Yen's like the best movie martial artist right now, so yeah. I'm always there whenever I hear his name. But what's funny is that he's been making a lot of shitty like Hong Kong movies lately. Yeah. So I'm really glad he's back to normal with John Wick 4. And I'm interested to see what he brings to the franchise. He tends to bring his style of fighting to whatever production he does. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the Gun Fu and the shenanigans that they do in those movies. I'm really, really psyched for this. Really interested to see how he looks in it. And can't wait. I mean, I was excited for anything John Wick. But this is actually really cool.
It takes it to the next level pretty much.
Yeah
So it should be interesting. I'm excited to see that he's gonna be in it, and I'm excited to see that, you know, they're actually continuing with the whole John Wick series in general. So
they said they were gonna do another one. That's just a matter of time, but
right.
I wonder who else they're gonna cast in this, like what other surprises are ahead.
Right, exactly. And see how much of the, you know, the previous cast will be showing up in this as well, because of course, you know, There are people that didn't pass away in the last ones that, you know, could possibly be showing up again. So, and that's gonna be pretty fucking cool. Some other shit that kind of broke the internet for a little bit was that we got word from the Flash set or whatever. Basically, the director pretty much put out a picture on the internet, basically of the 86 Batman, the emblem of the 86 Batman with blood on it. And it looks fucking interesting because, of course, you know, we know that, you know, Batman's supposed to be in the Flash. And it is, you know, the 86 Batman, Michael Keaton, in there. But why is the blood there? Kind of shows remnants to them possibly bringing in the Watchmen into this shit. Which would be fucking dope, because that's one thing that, you know, showed up in the comics, was the whole, you know, the Watchmen tie-in and trying to bring them into the whole, you know, regular DC universe.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, because it's part of the whole rebirth thing, but I doubt it. I just think the placement of it is similar, but it doesn't look like the one from Watchmen. Like I went to double check. It's interesting. Like it looks like they're making this into like the Flash version, the like DC version of the Spider-Verse. The DC version of the Spider-Verse. But it's not just like more than one version of Flash. They're actually using Batman and probably Superman too. It looks cool. I mean, so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good. They also online, they also had the girl that's playing Supergirl. She posted some shit that basically she's gonna be the short haired, dark haired girl as well. And that's gonna be pretty fucking cool. I'm excited for that. But yeah, dude, Batman in the Flash movies. Fuck yes. I'm excited for that shit. And then another thing that's coming to actually FX and Hulu is something that I've been a fan of for a while. And the thing that I'm talking about is Why the Last Man, which is a great fucking comic from Brian K. Vaughan, and that was on DC/Vertigo or whatever for a while. And in Why the Last Man, that pretty much sums it all up, is the fact that, you know, it's the last guy on fucking Earth.
Yeah, some disease like kills off and stops men from being able to reproduce. Mm-hmm. And Why is like the only one that survived. Like every man gets killed. And I read the first two trades and then I just never went back. But it's a good comic book. Like I read stuff about it and I know how much people dig it. And I mean, it's just like the first two trades are really good. Yeah. I just never got back around. Never finished it. But I'm actually psyched for this. It's a really cool story, a very different story. Kind of like the opposite of The Handmaid's Tale. And
yeah, it's the exact opposite of The Handmaid's Tale.
It's good though. Like the if they do it like the comic and they keep it as close to the comic as they can, it's actually a really good story. It's really crazy. Like a bunch of people die in it, and it's good. I mean, the comic went off for a while too. So
yeah, it went off from 2002 to 2008.
Yeah.
But we got the release date for the series. I actually haven't even seen the trailer for it yet. But the series is actually set to release on September 13th.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's fucking exciting. I'm excited for that shit because I'm a fan of the series, and I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with the show. Yay. There's some other news. We've actually spoken about Black Cat actually being in development for a while ago. Probably, I'm going to say like about a year ago, we mentioned about Black Cat actually becoming an actual thing in the, you know, the cinematic universe, I guess, for Sony now. That's another villainous role that, you know, they've been working on. Because, of course, you know, Sony's doing all the villains pretty much before they do any type of hero shit after, you know, Spider-Man and shit. But yeah, Black Cat is actually continuing in its being in development, so that's going to be happening soon. So that's going to be pretty fucking cool. I'm excited to see that. Black Cat's one of those, you know, those villainous roles that you don't expect to actually have anything going on other than, you know, being a bad guy.
Have they said who they cast yet or no?
No, they haven't said anything yet. Like it's still in early development, so okay. They're working on it. They have a story pretty much. They haven't really spoken about who's going to be in it and what's the whole role of anything that's going on with that.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it is pretty fucking cool. Like, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. Because Sony's been doing a lot of good shit, especially for, you know, the Spider-Man universe. Well, from what we've seen so far and what we've spoken about, which with Kraven the Hunter and shit. And the Venom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to say much about Morbius because, of course, you know, that's just a weird story. But I'm still excited to see what they're going to do with that. But I want to see what they're going to do with Black Cat. Because Black Cat is pretty much the first female villain that we're going to see for that universe. Because the Spider-Man stuff, we've seen nothing but dudes in it so far. And actually seeing a villainous female role in this is going to be pretty cool. Then in some other news that goes along with the Spider-Man-y stuff, we got news that Issa Rae, who was in the next Netflix movie with Kumail, was actually really good. But she also got casted to be in Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Spider-Woman.
Yeah, she's gonna be playing the Spider-Woman. That's gonna be fucking cool. Cause like I've enjoyed Spider-Woman in the whole Spider-Verse things. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with her as in that as well. Cause she's good. She's a good actress.
Yeah, she's a great actress, yeah.
She's a good comedic actress. She does a lot of comedic stuff. She's also on an HBO show, Unwanted or something on this affiliate or some shit, which I hear is actually really good. I haven't watched it, but yeah, she's fucking good in that show, in that movie with Kumail, who's also in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, that was good. That was actually a funny movie.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Issa Rae is gonna be part of the, you know, the Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse Part 2 as Spider-Woman. I'm wondering which version of Spider-Woman they're going to be using.
And, like, who? Well, I think it's Jessica Drew one.
Right, yeah, no, but like, what version of Jessica Drew? Because in one of the recent comics that I was reading, Jessica Drew actually, she had a kid.
Okay.
And she was, like, a mom. And she was trying to take care of the kid while she was also, you know, doing everything and being a superhero and everything and going through different dimensions, looking for, you know,
okay,
Spider-Gwen and shit like that. So okay. That was really interesting to see how that if they're actually going to go with that version of Jessica Drew.
I wonder who else they're going to use, because
right,
excuse me, they said that the kid who played Miles Morales and Gwen are coming back. nice. To the cast. Wow, what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm blanking on their names, but yeah, the kid that played Miles Morales and Hayley Stanfield or whatever, she played mm-hmm. Spider-Gwen. They're both coming back, and yeah, just curious to see what other characters they're gonna use.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're gonna do because, of course, you know, it's such a huge fucking role. There's a lot of things that they can throw into this because, you know, the Spider-Verse is huge. There's so many different versions of Spider-Man
that we can actually
go by. Yeah. And so many fucking villains in the Spider-Verse as well. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. Very fucking exciting. Very cool shit. Gotta love it. And I guess that takes us to the midway point of the episode right now. So if you are interested in checking out, after this, our review of The Conjuring, stay tuned. But if you're not ready for that yet, you don't want to know what's going on with The Conjurings, one of my favorite series or horror series that we've seen as of late, stand by and wait for it. But if not, thank you guys for listening and enjoy the mid song, I guess, or the outro song for now. And that's gonna be Hyrule the Hero, somebody that we've been featuring on the show for a while. It's one of my favorite, you know, rappers slash rock singers or hard rock singers that we've had in recent day. And he just came out with a new song called FU2. And it features AJ Channer from Fire from the Gods, who's another dope ass band. So check it out. And we'll be right.
Insomniac society. We think before we speak, not when we tweet. Satisfied followers, we don't wanna lead. We outraged, but is it fake outrage? I'm afraid to say anything. You be offended in some way. And you say, fuck us. What fuck you do? And you say, fuck us. What fuck you do? A bunch of fake news, hashtags being used to influence you. Fake news, all a bunch of fake news. We want the truth. I don't know what to believe. Taking and Audrey, here they go again with the bullshit. Dividing and conquer, come blind me. Just so you know, the name of the game is a fuck me as fuck you. Just so you know, the name of the game is a fuck me as fuck you. Sick of these games, we don't wanna play no more. No, we believe you will bring me no more. I think you're lying to me. One more suck your blood drop. Fake news, I'm a bunch of fake news. Being used to influence you. Fake news, all a bunch of fake news. We want the truth. I don't know what to believe. I don't
And we are back. Yay. So, for the rest of the episode, we're going to be talking about The Conjuring. The Devil Made Me Do It. Which continues along with, you know, with the Conjuring movies. One of the main three, I guess the first trilogy, other than, you know, the spinoffs that they've had, which is, you know, the Annabelles and the Nuns. But this one follows the Warrens as they try to pretty much exorcise this kid into not having a demon partly fucking with him.
It's an exorcism.
Yeah, it's an exorcism movie. As compared to the other movies, they weren't really exorcism movies. The other ones were more like paranormal shit. Yeah.
Haunted house stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Haunted house paranormal shit that was happening within a house or within a place that was fucking with people. But this one is more like, okay, this is an exorcism that pretty much spans more than just one place. It's not just one person. It starts off with a child, and then this one kid is like, yo, like, I volunteer myself to actually take over this demon or whatever that's fucking with people. And it fucks with people. It fucks with people bad. Like, the opening scenes are really fucking good in this. They start off really fucking well. Like, I really enjoyed the first opening scenes when, you know, they're doing the exorcism on this one kid, and kids that are with demons inside of them, the kids that are possessed are creepy as fuck. Seeing the way that they made his body just go.
Yeah, he does a mini Reagan on the table. Yeah, he it was cool. Like, he gets contorted and everything by the demon and the exorcism, and it's cool. It is a strong opening. Yeah.
That the opening was honestly probably the best part of the entire movie. There were a lot of good things throughout the movie itself, but the opening was probably the best for overall. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. Like I said, it was my first theater going experience in a while. That's one of the things that I enjoyed about it, the fact of actually being there. But as far as the story goes, like, it became more of a love story as it went along, because you started to get into the whole Warren story and how they pretty much were like, yo, I'm going to be with you forever or whatever. We're going to figure shit out. We're going to do whatever it takes to actually be together, no matter what the fuck is going on with our lives or what the fuck is going on with, you know, our careers, in a way, quote unquote careers, as, you know, paranormal investigators and shit. And then that also leads to another love story between, you know, the kid that pretty much gets taken over and his technically fiance at this point, as the story goes along, who actually turns out to be the sister of the kid that was exorcised in the beginning. And their whole love story and how she's like, I want to be with you, whatever, and, you know, we're not gonna let these demons take over and, you know, let you take them away.
Yeah, like, I mean, the story is basically the Warrens are called to help some kid out, and they basically decided the kid is possessed and he needs an exorcism. When they try to perform an exorcism, the kid who's the boyfriend of the kid's sister takes the I don't know if he's trying to prove something to the girl or what, but he takes the demon into him. He's like, yo, you know, don't hurt the kid, hurt me. So, like, the demon tries to jump into the kid, to the older kid, and it does. And what follows is basically that dude kills somebody, and he thought it was – he was under the influence of the demon, but he thought it was, like, a monster. And it just kind of goes from there with the Warrens trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I had a really weird time watching this, and I reviewing it too, because it's kind of, it goes back to what I said last time about how certain things aren't made for me. And this is definitely one of the things that is not made for me, which is really hard for me to, like, review, because I know the movie's good and I know it's well done. And it was like, I have no complaints about it, but at the same time, like, I didn't enjoy it as much as someone who likes this kind of movie would. Like,
right.
I just, it's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. I like more more gory stuff and I like harder stuff. Like I can't even think of anything on the name, but you know what I'm talking
this
about.
This is a good starter movie for people
This is like mainstream horror, and mainstream horror is just like really sanitized to me, and it's just not the same. So with that being said, this movie out of all the Conjuring movies has been the best one I've seen so far. But then again, I didn't think the other ones were that good. Like I we were talking about it before we went on the air that a couple of days ago that I can't tell the difference between this and Insidious.
Yeah, I agree.
I know the woman's different because the one on the one in Insidious is like she's like one of my crushes, like she's hot. But yeah, like it's weird because I tried to watch Conjuring 1 and 2 and the same thing happened. Like I got halfway through and I said, fuck this, like this is just not for me.
Yeah,
and
the then honestly, the second Conjuring I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah.
Insidious, Insidious is way better than all three of these. But I wouldn't say it's up to par with the first Conjuring for me.
Okay.
Insidious and the first Conjuring are great fucking horror movies, both for different reasons.
Okay.
They both pretty much follow the same type of story, but with the Conjuring stuff, I actually enjoyed it a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's mostly because there's a lot of shit in it that I wasn't expecting. Like with the Insidious movies, I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of see it coming, and I see it happening, and I'm like, okay, I knew where it was going. But for the Conjuring, I was like, okay, I guess whatever. It pops up for the Insidious movies. In the Conjuring, is like. It kind of throws me off for a little bit for all the Conjuring movies. It's like, yo, like this shit is actually based, quote unquote, based on true stories.
Which is bullshit.
Right.
Because the Warrens were like eventually found out to be, you know, the frauds that they are and were. And this is one of the cases, like the real case behind this is one of those cases where like it's based off the Amityville Horror case in the house. And yeah, like it was all kind of bullshit. The dude, this is based on a real case though. Like it actually happened, not the way it happened in the movie. The guy who's possessed, he's still alive. I saw it in one of the making of things, which is interesting. Like the guy's still alive, but
they actually kind of spoke about like if you watch towards the end of the movie, like they kind of have the whole
thing.
He's still with that girl.
Yeah, still which together. Is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, but it was this one itself isn't the best of the entire series.
I mean, no, I know, but like for me, it was like the only one I could ever sit through.
Yeah,
like the whole thing. So, yeah. For that alone, I give it a lot of props because I really don't like this type of horror usually. but no, it was good. It was pretty good. But yeah, it was so weird to like review this because I'm like, yeah, like I can't say it's a bad movie because it's not. But would I recommend it? I don't know.
it's a good starter flick for a lot of people. Like I can see why you're not a huge fan of it because there isn't a lot in it that's very horror-ish. There's not a lot of, you know, especially for, you know, a hardcore horror fan, like there's not a lot of blood, there's not a lot of guts.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like, oh yeah, there's the only thing that's in this that's a lot of is that there's a lot of intense moments.
Yeah, like I like the story in this is actually good. It was actually easy to follow. There was a specific like ghost that they could talk to or follow, or a bad guy that they could follow and use as the villain of the piece. Like these movies are actually really hard when it comes to trying to figure out what they're doing with the horror parts. My only nitpick was the jump scares, which is another thing that I just can't stand. There's just nothing but jump scares.
Yeah,
but I like the story for the most part.
Yeah,
I like the story with the girls, actually. That little tidbit when the cop's trying to, like, you know, fuck with her and, like, see if she's as good as she is. That scene, that whole part of the story, I thought was really interesting. But, like, everything else was just kind of normal.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that they're just like, oh, yeah, try to figure this out. Because there's this whole scene that they're like, oh, yeah, you know, she has this connection. She's kind of like a medium in a way. And, they're trying to figure out, like, oh yeah, we don't believe in any of this shit. We don't believe that fucking the devil's doing anything or whatever. And she's like, yeah, like, show me something that you can fuck. And they're like, yo, like, prove this or whatever. And they bring these knives to her. She's like, which the cop is like, so which knife was used to kill this person or whatever. And then she's like, the dude is arguing with, you know, with the cop, and they're just going back and forth, back and forth. She's like, it's this one. And the cop is like, okay, I'll hook you up. I'll help you out. That was pretty cool. That was a real fun scene. Like, I enjoyed it. But besides that, like, there was a lot of things that I did enjoy about it. Like, I actually did enjoy the whole scene when they actually go into the tunnels, pretty much. When they pretty much figure out, like, oh yeah, it's gonna be something to do with this old priest that was pretty much hiding somewhere.
Yeah, the ending thing with the people hallucinating was really good.
Yeah, that shit was great. Like, there was a lot of good shit in this movie. I was like, okay, I like this. Like, I'm not saying that it's the best fucking horror movie ever either, but it's actually really interesting to see that it's. Like, I'm very skeptical about a lot of paranormal shit, and the fact that people are saying, you know, oh, this could possibly be true, and the fact that there are records of these things. I like to believe that something could be out there, something could be, you know, possibly, you know, hiding around. But I'm still skeptic about it until I actually see something myself. But yeah, it was an interesting story. Like, I'm a fan of the Conjuring series, not necessarily a fan of, you know, the spin-offs, but this was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed it a lot, especially being in a theater with actual people watching this as well.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too.
Yeah,
I saw it on HBO Max.
So. Yeah, yeah, I'm planning on watching it again on HBO Max as well, but actually watching this movie in a theater with people. And actually getting a black rose, which actually is kind of significant in the movie as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fake black rose, but it was kind of interesting that they actually went out and actually got the screeners to actually, oh, here's a little bit of a prop that you could actually, you know, go through the movie with and whatever, which kind of makes sense for the movie because, you know, they do kind of, it kind of fits the movie in a way. Because in the movie they wind up having, you know, a black rose or a bunch of flowers delivered to the Warren's house or whatever, and they're just like, oh, why is this here? And it turns out there's a demonic relic in it and shit. Yeah. And that's why they get all weirded out and how they have to, you know, they have to sacrifice three different people.
The totem.
Yeah. So there's you got to sacrifice a holy person and a young kid and a middle-aged kid or whatever, and a teenager or whatever the fuck it is.
The innocent something something, the lover something yeah. something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The child, the innocent, and the fucking and the holy person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool movie. Like I said, it's entertaining. My whole thing is I don't like jump scares. And yeah, I mean, check it out. If it's your cup of tea, definitely gonna like it. Like I said, I've seen all three movies, and out of the three, this is my favorite one. I don't know if it's the best one, but this is like one of the better ones of that kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like out of the main three, this is probably my number two out of three because I didn't like the second one. The first one is my favorite of the three because I watched it. Of course, I watched it in theaters as well. And I was super fucking intrigued by it. Like, I fucking love that movie. Like, I love the Conjuring flicks. The first one was, like, of course, like I said, my favorite. The second one, not so much. The spinoffs, I didn't really give a fuck about.
Yeah, I tried to watch Annabelle. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Annabelle. I couldn't get into the Annabelle, was it the beginnings or the origins of the fucking Annabelle as well. And then I really didn't give a fuck about the Nun either, because I didn't give a fuck about the second movie either.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, I guess you say it's recommended for people that, you know, are ready for a little bit of jump scares and stuff. And it's like I said, it's a good beginner flick for those that want to get into horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So go check it out. It's on HBO Max right now. So if you want to check it out and you don't want to pay and go to the theaters, go check it out there. But that pretty much wraps it up for this week, right? You got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, cool. So make sure you go to innercitygeeks.net. We've got a whole bunch of shit sometimes. We got this show. We have Ice Poppin'. We have Comics with One, Manga Time, Anime World, the ICGPW Slamcast. We got Inner City Geeks Turntable, Brighton J Presents. What else? A bunch of other shit. Go check all that shit out. Yeah, they got a whole of that shit there. You can find the show on, you can listen to it on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Podcasts. I'm trying to figure if maybe we could get it on fucking iTunes, but iTunes is a bit of a cunt sometimes. But fuck iTunes anyway. Where else? You can find us on the Instagram and the Twitters, at on Facebook. You can find us on facespace.com/innercitygeeks, on Twitter at innercitygeeks, on Instagram at innercitygeeks. Where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at DarthBX on Twitter or Instagram, DARTHBX, one word, and yeah.
Yeah, and you guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. So, say goodbyes.
Adios, man. Have a good one.
Yeah. And take care. Be safe. But don't be a dick. And always remember, the geeks shall inherit the earth.